We look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Did you know that when they make panes of glass for windows, they melt in sugar? They stir it all in. That is why it's called double glazed. That is why wasps are always flying near your windows in the summer. I've just told you a lie. But it sort of makes sense, and so it's funny, and it's kind of believable. Good jokes are often based on falsehoods. Of course, there are other kinds of lies that are much less harmless. We can be so gullible. Consider Eve. The snake was telling her lies, but she believed them, and she picked fruit from the tree of knowledge, and she and Adam ate of it, and then they felt shame for the first time, and they hid from God in the garden. We can be so gullible. Psychologists say that if we hear a lie often enough, we come to believe it. Many of us are used to such sayings like, you only use 10% of your brain. Not true. You lose most of your heat through your head. Again, not true. Cracking your knuckles will give you arthritis. Not true. Swallowing your gum will cause it to stay in your system for 7 years. Again, not true. Some lies we learn as children are lies about ourselves, and they can be damaging to our sense of ourselves and to our understandings of others. Some lies are the difference between words and behavior. Some lies are ugly rumors, and repeating a lie gives it power. Consider the mother and brothers of Jesus. They have heard that Jesus is beside himself. He has lost his mind, and they are on their way to take him home. That's it. That's the end of Jesus' ministry. He will be kept in a back room for the rest of his life. And more outrageous, outright enemies claim in the hearing of the crowd that he has Beelzebul in him. He has Satan in him. Remember that Jesus has been casting out demons and healing. And perhaps those who had those demons cast out were those whom we would now refer to as those who hear voices, were psychotic perhaps, or schizophrenic, were out of their heads. These rumors and accusations are meant to alarm the crowd, both personal and religious attacks, and both undermine his authority. How does Jesus deal with these lies set against him? Jesus' response to this misunderstanding and outright hostility is not to give up, not to walk away, but to start to tell stories and to make analogies. Jesus goes into parable mode, not directly attacking their position, but talking in word pictures, analogies, little stories. He talks about this supposed lord of the demons, Beelzebul, Satan, whom they claim is in him. Why would a leader destroy his own followers? A house divided cannot stand, and a house can only be plundered if the strong man, Satan, has been subdued. Jesus is saying he has the power over the demons and people because the power of God's loving intentions are greater than the forces of evil. The thing about an analogy, a parable, is that you've got to reach for it. You've got to open yourself up a little bit and take it in and mull it around and ponder it to make sense of it. And in figuring out that word, puzzle, or story, you can be shifted to a new perspective. It's kind of like sucking on a jawbreaker until the flavor changes. Or figuring out how to eat an artichoke or steamed crab or crawfish. It isn't obvious what to do. You have to put some thought and effort if you want to get to the meat of it. And then when Jesus' family finally arrives, and let me just say, this is how Mark works. He will have an introduction. He kind of frames stories like this. Notice at the beginning, he mentions Jesus' family, goes into the story about Satan, and then Jesus' family arrives. So Jesus' family finally arrives. They're at the edge of the crowd, and word is passed through the crowd to Jesus. He takes this additional ugly rumor about him that has clearly rattled his family. He takes it in stride. He tells the crowd, he says, "Who are my mother and brothers?" And I have to tell you, he hasn't lost track of his purpose, but I would think that if your mother thinks you've gone around the bend, that would rattle you far more than if some obvious enemy has had some ad hominem attack against you. Your mother's concern that you've lost it is worse. But Jesus doesn't get rattled. It's another opportunity to teach. Who are my mother and my brothers? Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and my brothers and my sisters. And this also relates to what has been said about Beelzebul. Because Jesus is not the enemy of heaven. He is doing the will of his Father. And we are called to be affiliated in this family by also doing the will of our Father in heaven. We can be so gullible. Certainly, the serpent was punished. But what is our part in response to the lies that seek to diminish the love of God? What is our part? There's a young man who's the lead singer in a popular group called Imagine Dragons. Now, see, they're nodding. If you don't know who they are, ask them. He recently made public that he grew up in a traditional Mormon home, one of nine. And he also described his break from that restrictive world. You see, he was expelled from BYU for having sex with his girlfriend, whom he had been dating for 4 years. He was expelled. It was such a harsh punishment for what felt right in such a long relationship that lasted for 4 years, that for the very first time in his life, he began to question many of the teachings that had affected him as a child. He also reports that some of those dark songs that he sings in that group have a lot to do with the guilt that he felt growing up in that world. He still considers himself a Mormon, but he says he's a unique one. In the response to the work that he did with his therapist to get past anxiety and depression, he has released a video to encourage gay teenagers in Utah that they are not evil, they are not monstrous, and good and worthy like any other teenager, no matter what their local religious leaders say or how their parents treat them, even if they're rejected and expelled from families or church. This young man did not want destructive lies that isolate and tear down to hurt these gay teens in these families and churches, to cause them to despair, and he wanted to help. So he finally spoke up. This is especially important because in the general public in the United States, gay teens are 8 times more likely to commit suicide than other adolescents. And the numbers are even worse in Utah. Another form of lies can be found in depression, lies to ourselves. Depression can whisper lies into our ears. People suffering from depression can begin to believe they are a burden, come to believe they are unlovable, or that life is hopeless. And of course, that is not true. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. No lies can do that. What is true is that our God is forgiving and loving. We belong to God and we belong to each other. We are family. Think of that psalmist that we hear about in this passage who seems to be sleepless at night on his bed, pondering some guilt or pain. And the psalmist remembers that God is forgiving and that that knowledge is enough to make it through to the morning. Let me tell you about family, the kind of family we are part of here in Lampasas. At least three times a week here in Lampasas, brothers and sisters like us gather. They are volunteers from a variety of churches who come to Lampasas Mission to help provide food and clothing and counseling for those in need. And they gather beside these tall racks of loaves of bread, and they make a circle around bins of vegetables, bags of carrots and cabbages, boxes of apples and turnips. And they are all ages and all backgrounds. They stand there and hold hands and they pray for those they are about to serve. And that is us. We are family. Amen.